The Psychedologist.
Thank you for listening to The Psychedologist. This is Consciousness Positive Radio. Today, I have a fresh new episode for you with the brilliant Soma Phoenix of Silly Girls. Soma appears in the documentary A Table of Our Own, which you can catch at the Grand Lake Theater this Wednesday, September 13th, 2023, at 7 p.m. Tickets are available through the link in the show notes. This is a fundraising viewing for the film. It premiered to a standing room only crowd at Psychedelic Science this past June with standing ovation. If you attend the fundraiser in Oakland this week, you will not only have the chance to witness the impactful documentary firsthand, but also to contribute to the ongoing efforts to raise awareness about the potential benefits of plant medicine and the connection Black people have to it. Your support will play a vital role in advancing the research and promoting a better understanding of these transformative substances. Once again, check out the link in the show notes for more information. Back to our episode. I love Soma Phoenix. She graces us with her wisdom, including topics of the deliciousness of air, magical thinking, the balance of dreaming and wishing while also having 2 feet on the ground in this reality. Soma shares about letting our strengths lead us and working holistically from the root to the fruit. We discuss colonization and this larger cultural turning point we find ourselves in, recognizing that water, air, and the climate are incredibly precious and are in danger for everyone. We gush over our love for the plants, of course, and the mushrooms, of course. All of them, but specifically in this episode, we talk about tulsi, cordyceps, and cannabis. Soma imparts some wisdom from her experience cultivating medicine. And her medicine is amazing, by the way. You should check it out. Link in the show notes. We talk about having reverence and being in intentional relationship with the plant and mushroom kingdoms we work with, paying mind to patterns of using them that could lower our frequency and make us stagnant. The conversation wraps up with a nudge for all of us to remember your why. A little bit more about Soma Phoenix. She's a psychedelic researcher and integration consultant who works with individuals seeking healing from trauma and spiritual transformation. As an attorney, Soma advocates for drug policy reform and supports the idea of cognitive liberty, or freedom to explore consciousness on our own terms. Very consciousness positive. Soma provides private integration support services and is the founder of Silly Girls, an organization devoted to community building, spiritual support, and discourse around psychedelic experiences and insight. Please enjoy this episode. Oh, that feels good. Yes. Welcome, Soma.
Thank you. Thank you. I love how something as simple as taking a deep breath, like, can have such an impact, because that just made me feel really good.
Me too. I almost wanted to say, like, that air is delicious. Mm-hmm. That was juicy air.
That's 5-star high quality air.
That was primo. Yeah. Oh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm super glad to be here. This has been a long time coming, I feel like.
Really long, if you think about it.
So, yes, I'm thrilled to be here. Very excited. I love that you talk about consciousness. That's such a basic concept, but so neglected, I think.
Thank you. I agree. I am a real slut for consciousness. Like, I just love everything about it. It's everywhere. Like, it's always something.
You can hardly look around without seeing something conscious or that reminds you of your consciousness, right?
Right, right. Indeed. Yeah. Well, what was your relationship to consciousness as a tiny human?
As a kid, I was really deep in my own thoughts. Like, I was a only child for a long time. My youngest, my only sibling is like 12 or 13 years younger than me. So I got a lot of time to just kind of be, you know, with myself and kind of really develop a sense of individualism. So I did that. I read a lot. I wrote a lot. I was kind of... I guess what you would call like a high achiever type of student when I was young. So that kind of framed a lot of my perspective on life, I guess. But yeah, when I think now, just as from my big age now, about like how my thought processes were as a kid, it makes so much sense now. Like just who I was and how I was so different. Like I feel like I was a little different. Like I always felt like, I don't know, how can you say, like, not that the rules didn't apply to me, but like that I was just kind of in my own world almost when I was a kid. And that delusion has not strayed.
Those only child vibes. I know I have them. I was an only child till 18. Oh, yeah.
You know the vibes. Yep. So it's just interesting to look back and think about, like, just some of the things I thought about as a kid. Like, I remember always thinking, like, if I wanted something and I thought about it enough or wished for it enough, that maybe it would happen, right? Like, you know, the old trope of, you know, dreams come true. But that has such a deep connection to consciousness, right? Because, you know, like, just the concepts of manifesting and, you know, willing things into existence. I realized that that was a really big part of just my natural thought processes and just kind of how I approach life, even from like when I was young, right? So it's exciting now to see like a lot of the stuff that just naturally, you know, I was inclined to, you know, always wish and dream. I was a dreamer, is what I guess I'd characterize myself in. That essence of who I am has really stayed with me. And I'm thankful for that.
I'm happy you mentioned this, like, kind of manifesting way of being conscious.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause this seems to keep coming up this week. And I never know, like, it must be true that what we think about, what energy we're embodying, we attract to us. It must be true. It just always comes true. But I can't understand how does that function? Like, I can't piece it apart and to understand the process of that. But I do believe it and I see it.
Yeah, I definitely believe it and I see it. And I struggle sometimes because it's like, you know, when you think and kind of that magical way, right? And, you know, your thought processes are really, you know, deep and like manifesting and kind of like just, you know, borderline woo-woo. You know, some people can see that as like being delusional or toxic positivity or, you know, being, I guess, detached. So it's kind of a fine line, right? Between, you know, living and thinking in that magical way and having some kind of sustainable tether to reality. So that's, you know, that's kind of a gray area that I think a lot of people have to figure out. Sometimes people get stuck there. And I think maybe the hallmark of like a strong spiritualist is, you know, really learning that balance, right? And figuring out how to live in a magical state of consciousness in a way, and also having a strong connection to, you know, reality in your community and, you know, things that actually make a difference. So, you know, it's a lot, right? It's fertile ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, it's all in the balance. You're right. Like that idea of manifestation can easily be used to bypass real issues and bypass privilege. And so to be, you know, to be like not a navel gazer, but also to not be devoid of the magic and the spirit that's inherent in everything is the way I want to be, at least.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal, is to, you know, find that balance. And I don't know, it's fun in the journey of figuring that out, right? Figuring out how far in your delusions can you go before reality snaps you back into focus? Can never stray away too long, I think.
Right. Yeah. So many teachers bringing us back to mm-hmm. reality. Mm-hmm.
Teachers like laundry and bills, you know, those wise old ones.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, too funny.
So, what was your journey to this point like? You have silly girls. You do a lot. You're a medicine woman. Do you identify that way?
I do. And it's like such a strong title, right? Like I feel in my mind when I think of medicine woman, it's like, a powerful old wizened woman, somewhere deep in the forest, tinkering around with herbs and animals and cauldrons and all kind of, madness. And I mean, that's that I aspire to be that, right? That's the goal one day. But in my role now, I guess I would characterize myself as like a modern medicine woman, right? Because I'm decidedly steeped in, our modern world. And, I'm okay with that. I'm a city girl. I'm from Chicago. So, I love nature and all that. But, my core is concrete jungles. So, from my perspective, I have to kind of blend the traditional medicine woman type of vibe, right? Of being, super steeped in nature and kind of find ways to bridge that gap. But yeah, I characterize myself as a medicine woman. And I got here, just by kind of following that path of individualism, right? Like that's been, I feel like a hallmark in my journey, even from childhood, just even beginning with that idea of being an only child for so long. That was the beginning of me really having to forge a strong sense of self. And so just being able to kind of understand what my strengths are and letting that lead me in the world. And that's kind of led me here, right? Because I've always been interested like in science, health, things like that. So when I started college, I began, wanting to be pre-med, wanting to be a doctor and, and all that. And I feel like in some ways I've kind of found myself, in that arena now, right? Being a medicine woman, I don't have the credentials of an MD, but, I have found different ways to, make the knowledge accessible to others and, use it to heal myself and those around me. So, I think my street credentials will have to count for something.
I think they count for even more than, I mean, in my book at least, they count for even more than the Western medical credentials of like, you went through a dehumanizing experience of school and residency, and now you have no empathy left because you're just really like becoming a doctor steals your soul. I've seen it. Like, it's hard to maintain intact, like, through those really long hours, being in situations where you're helpless to, like, assist people. You don't have time to sit compassionately with someone because it's like on to the next and the hospitals. I could just go on and on. So I feel I relate in that I was on track to be like, I wanted to get a PhD in clinical psychology and do like research and therapy and teach in a university. And I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm super glad that I didn't do that because there is a I feel like it just and this is my personal opinion. There's a high level of indoctrination that comes with a lot of those roles, right? Doctors. I was, I do legal work, so I went to law school, and it's a similar sort of brainwashing that occurs, right? And kind of a separation from yourself and your individualism, and the focus is on, approaching the collective in a certain way, and just being able to communicate things in a certain way, and often that will lead to lack of empathy, and a lot of the different sort of personality traits that we see among professionals, who are, their role is to, be caretakers in a way to society, but the level of coldness there is, it can be off-putting for a lot of people. So I'm definitely thankful I didn't go that route because I like having the personal connection with people, right? I like, you know, not having to follow everything by the book, right? Because that's another part of the medical practice that is that there's such a big, there's such a big focus on following procedure and, you know, standards and everything. And so it leaves very little room for an individual approach, which, you know, that's what a lot of people need. So I'm thankful to have a different framework to approach working with people versus, you know, just having that disconnection.
Oh, yeah. A part of me wants to just like make a caveat of there are people who, you know, swim against the tide in the medical system and do really amazing work. And it's the system I'm critiquing, not the people in it. I just want to name that and how I appreciate, like, I'd certainly appreciate my midwife who's in the medical system and, you know, different doctors that have saved my life at times. And who've just gone through a major trauma with the ongoing COVID pandemic. But so that caveat aside, I agree. And I'd love to hear more about working holistically and like without these are the steps, we follow the steps, this is the treatment, but being more intuitive and supporting people on their healing path.
For sure. A huge part of medicine work and really as you're, you know, starting to endeavor into plant medicines and transitioning from kind of the pharmaceutical approach, right? There's a lot of trust and faith and intuition that has to happen with the individual and themselves and with the person providing the medicine. So that's like a super important part of it. And what I realize a lot of people, they miss out on because there's just kind of a huge disconnect. They don't really understand that. Uh-oh, we got some puppy action. Yeah, though, people don't understand that, you know, like the way the medical system is set up is, you know, in a standardized way. And plant medicine and the way you approach it is super individual, right? Because one dose may apply to one person, you know, and they'll get fantastic results. And then another person can take that same dose and they have nothing or they have a terrible experience or something like that. So holistically, you want to be able to, you know, kind of go from the root to the fruit, you know, as we say, right? So really understanding kind of taking the symptoms that people are experiencing and kind of working backwards, right? And really understanding and uncovering the layers and figuring out, okay, what is the nexus of the discomfort or the dis-ease that's occurring? And then, you know, being able to approach it from there instead of saying, okay, typically when we see XYZ sort of symptoms, then this is how we treat it, right? So it's a whole different approach. And that's what I'm coming to realize as I work more with clients who come from a background of things like talk therapy, being on SSRIs and different mood stabilizers and just being heavily medicated for depression, is that there can be a disconnect as far as being able to rely on your intuition, being able to say, I want to do something or I feel like this will work for me just because I feel this way, right? And not because of a protocol or, you know, this is the standard, but just being able to lean into things, you know, your gut urge. So that's an important part of the holistic approach, is being able to kind of let go of the rigid system of approaching, you know, treatment and really understanding that, you know, there are several ways up, you know, the mountain. And, you know, you have to find your footing where it's stable.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. Looking at a whole person instead of a collection of symptoms and traits. Yeah, very colonialist to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to an episode of How to Survive the End of the World, which is Adrienne Marie Brown and Autumn Brown's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever checked it out?
I have not, but I love them and I need to check that out.
Yeah, big plug for it. This particular episode was my permaculture teacher was on, actually, because Adrienne is doing a series about witches and healers and magical people. Yeah, every episode I've heard has been amazing. And so last night I was listening to Starhawk, who is a Jewish activist and permaculturist and a teacher. And so she's a writer, too. She's a great writer. And she was saying how it's important to understand the legacy of how we came to the way we are today. And specifically, she was talking about white people looking back at their, you know, how colonization separated them from the plants and nature and like literally like burning people who were in relationship with the plants or used them as medicine and outcasting them. So I'm just thinking about the point in all of in anyone's history, really, if they're alive today, there was some point at which we were like forcibly, by one means or another, ripped from belonging with nature. And then finding the way back to it is so beautiful. I'm grateful too. And I'm just starting to really embody the grief and rage of how many generations were disconnected from this.
Yeah, it's tough when you think about it. Just how deeply colonized the planet is, right? And in almost every aspect you can think of. And it's interesting, like, when you say that, you know, like, there's a big kind of the way people view, you know, whiteness and colonizers and all of that, right? It's kind of like, you know, they've done this horrible thing and gotten away with it, right? But the way I think about it is like, I think of it as like a warden in jail. You know, they're imprisoning people, but at the same time, they live in the jail too. You know, they're incarcerated, even though they have, you know, some level of freedom. They're right there in jail, right along with the people, you know, who they're lording over. So I don't think anyone escapes colonization, and especially the mass colonization that we've experienced unscathed. So, you know, it's multi-levels because now we see a lot of the people who are, you know, kind of from that ruling class, if you will, like the upper level, they're now understanding how disconnected they are, right? And that, you know, no amount of money is going to heal your connection with nature and with, you know, spiritually. So I think that's a big turning point that a lot of people are coming to now is that, you know, aside from all the abundance and the riches and, you know, all of the material trappings, what are we left with now that, you know, that doesn't really matter as much anymore, or it won't be going forward, you know, when, you know, the air, the water, the climate, you know, like the basics that we need to survive are, you know, in danger for everyone. And, you know, you can only run it high for so long, you know, before your resources run out. So, you know, I think everybody should be concerned about the future that we're building and what it looks like for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, people with a lot of resources might have it easier at times in the apocalypse, but I don't think, yeah, that just can't save anyone. And it's going to be people who can come together in community and in solidarity that will have the richest experience. And
the system does need to, probably just does need to collapse, huh? I mean, it's unavoidable.
I mean, you know what? What goes up must come down, right? Like nothing is permanent. Nothing is, you know, static. So everything is at risk at one time or another. And, you know, maybe the time is coming for, you know, massive changes to happen in our reality. So, you know, we can run or we can welcome it, you know, but either way, it's coming.
Yeah. Well, you are so intimate with all different mushrooms. Like, I kind of want to hear, like, what's your love letter to the mushroom? Like, what do you, or what's your fun fact? Like, what have you learned from cultivating and being in relationship these last however many years? I mean, it's been a bit, right?
Yeah, it's been some years, man. When I first like started working with mushrooms, it was like, you know, I was definitely like a weirdo, right? Like I was doing something that was super, super fringe for my particular, you know, life and lifestyle. And over time, you know, I think so much about, there's a show and it basically like, it's characterized as the mushrooms basically take over someone's brain and, you know, turns them into zombies. And so they're doing the mushrooms bidding. And I feel like that's kind of accurate. Like, but since I've started working with the mushrooms, like they've completely, you know, colonized my consciousness. And so I feel like a lot of what I do and just a lot of the work I do is dedicated heavily to the mushroom wisdom, and that it guides me. You know, they guide me so much to now, you know, when I first started, it was like, you know, I don't know, this is scary, this is weird, this is illegal, this is, you know, all of these things. And, you know, over time, I just gained such a deep level of trust that, you know, the mission that I'm on and the work that I'm doing, you know, this is something that's deeply spiritual and something that, you know, I'm being guided well beyond just, you know, my own thought process. Like I have hundreds, thousands, millions, maybe, of allies, right? Fungi allies, herb allies, spiritual allies, real people, fake people, you know, like I'm now kind of the mindset, I think it's called like pronoia, where it's like the opposite of paranoia. So instead of thinking everything is against you, I'm deeply of the mindset that everything, you know, ultimately is conspiring to, you know, make all my dreams happen and make life easier and happier for me, so that I can do the work that the mushrooms want me to do, you know, peacefully and gratefully and happily. So I thank the mushrooms for being trustworthy allies and, you know, keeping me on this journey and keeping me safe and bringing me to the right people when I need them. I am deeply grateful to the fungi community.
Yeah. Well, and your Tulsi tincture, just like every time I take it, it helps me in a noticeable way, which is not always like that. Like, as I said earlier, I was a consciousness slut. I'm also maybe even more a plant slut, and I fucking love plants so much. Like, I'm always catcalling them and just like, oh, you're stunning. Like, I love you. Like, come with me. Come with me. But I don't always feel them, you know, I take them and I love them and I thank them, but I don't always feel it, but I feel that tincture.
And I that's really, really one of my favorites, and specifically for that, because a lot of herbs and plants are subtle, right, in their approach. You know, they, you'll feel it over time, or they'll have more of an effect because of terpene profiles. So, you know, you might get a boost from the aromatherapy aspect, but not all plants will give you that feeling of when you take it instantly, you know, there's a sense of just general like well-being, right? It's almost like just a warm hug, you know, that that plant gives you, you know, you can feel the spirit of it, right? And that's what I love so, so much about Tulsi is it's just such a loving, loving plant. And you can really feel the spirit of it as soon as you take it, right? And that's, I recommend that to almost everybody because it's just like, it's kind of a, it's a primer on how to develop a relationship with a plant, right? And how to start really being in communion with the spirit of the plant and taking it and seeing how does it affect you? What does it do for your mood? What is even being, you know, near the essence do for you? And that it can be super beneficial just by being in your system, like you'll get upliftment. So that's what I love so much about Tulsi and so many of the other herbs and mushrooms that I work with is that the spirit is strong. The plant spirit is strong. And when you really allow yourself to commune with it and you're intentional, it can change you drastically. Drastically. I love it.
Is there another plant or mushroom love that you want to shout out to that you work with?
Yeah, I am currently in a love affair with cordyceps.
Oh,
That is one of my favorites because I'm a smoker. I'm a cannabis queen. So, you know, I appreciate the lung support that it provides. And as I get deeper into exploring somatic practices and body work and things like that, cordyceps is heavy on the physicality. So it helps energetically. It helps as you start to want to build stamina when you're doing different movement practices, different forms of exercise. It really helps you kind of bridge that gap of mind and body. And it, I just feel like it's very, very supportive of anything physical. So I recommend that as well, especially to people who maybe work a lot, who are possibly a little disconnected from their bodies, who, you know, just need a little bit extra motivation, right? And what I love about a lot of different plants and herbs is that unlike psilocybin, you know, a lot of people use it for the mental aspect, right? To, you know, fix or, you know, start aiding and changing whatever behaviors and everything, but it's going on the conscious and subconscious levels. But a lot of medicines that I work with are very physical. So you feel it in your body. You feel it, you know, you feel the energy. And it's a marked difference between when you're using the supplement and when you're not, so that you can kind of begin to understand what your body needs and when it's craving different things that are going to give you more energy, that are going to give you more focus, you know, and that'll just make you feel good overall without necessarily relying on microdosing or psilocybin, you know, because you don't always want to be in that headspace, but sometimes you do want to be in that body space. So lots of options available.
Oh, I'm loving everything you're saying so much. Also, cannabis fangirl here, long-term relationship.
It's getting serious at this point.
I think we're going
to go to the next step.
Yeah, we always are. Actually, I did just go to the next step because I had a couple seeds and I grow outside every year a couple plants. Yeah, I just love the plant, even if I'm not going to get through how much it produces in a year, give it away and whatever. But I had some seeds. I didn't realize they weren't feminized. And then I went away for 2.5 weeks. So when I got home, there was a big old male plant hanging out there. Oh, no. I'm so sorry, all my neighbors. I don't know if anyone grows in my neighborhood, but if they do,
I was
my boy.
Did you kill him?
Well, that's what everybody was just like, kill immediately, put in plastic bag, throw in dumpster, wear gloves. And I was kind of like, you know, I get it. And I mean,
but he grew.
I'm like, this, you know, why are we going to sacrifice the male and just throw him away? So I did bring him inside right away. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it and I felt into it and did a little internet reading and decided to, well, I juiced the fan leaves into the most vibrant, scrumptious juice. And I made ice cubes and froze them so I can put that in smoothies all year. And that'll have all the cannabinoids. Whoa. Right? Yeah. And then I dried the male flowers, which are like pollen sacs, but apparently they have, because the THC in a male plant is spread out more equally between fan leaves and the buds, whereas with a female, it's quite concentrated in the flower. So I dried the herb and I'm gonna smoke it later and this, I'll let you know.
Oh, you guys are downright going steady.
Yeah, I'm like
fun.
It's a threesome, like female and male.
I know. You're living the life. You're living it up. But so that's the goal, right? Is to find something that you love, find a herb or a plant that you love and really develop a relationship with it, right? Like making different products, using it in different applications, figuring out all the different ways it can benefit you just outside of smoking or, you know, whatever, however you consume it.
Yeah, it's all in relationship. Everything is. I increasingly think about reality. I guess I think about consciousness and I think about relationship equally. And so I bring up cannabis to ask, kind of like you're talking about microdosing and yeah, we're talking about relationship. I wonder about the relationship that a lot of people have to cannabis and the mushroom, you know, and all psychedelics really, and our food, our bodies, et cetera. But specifically like, what I've heard from some ayahuasca facilitators that, you know, as you know, or as some people might know, you're supposed to like abstain from cannabis before drinking ayahuasca in a lot of different traditions. And I do that and it is fruitful. And then I end up kind of going back to cannabis at some point after, not necessarily every day. And yeah, with a different relationship, but it's not a specific question, but just talking about like, do you think some people use these medicines, like use, like not work with, not partner with, not be in relationship with, but use for their own means? And like, what would you say to that?
For sure. I talk about this topic a lot. I haven't spoken on it recently, but I used to talk about this all the time on Instagram. And I'm sure I'd turn people off, but it was... to me, I think you should be very careful with cannabis, right? Because... it's helpful. So the way I think about the plant, you know, every plant has its own spirit and its own energy. And the way I think about cannabis is it can be super helpful if you're depressed or if your vibe is lower, your frequency is lower. You're just, you know, kind of, you know, not feeling your best, right? It's good to be able to lean on that plant medicine because it is comforting. It can elevate your mood, elevate your spirit, all of those things, right? But eventually, there comes a time when you kind of reach a plateau with cannabis. And then the effects can begin to be negative, right? So the way I think about it is that the plant can assist you and bring you to a certain level. But then after that, you have to either go it your own or find another plant ally or something. Because if you keep using it in a way that isn't intentional, it can start to lower your frequency and bring you down and stunt your growth and make you stagnant, right? So it's almost like at a certain point, you begin to vibrate higher than the spirit of the cannabis plant. So you don't need to rely on it as heavily. And some people miss that, right? Because it's like you get all that you need out of the plant and then either you move on or you develop a different relationship with it. But if you don't do that, you can kind of enter a territory where you rely too heavily on it, and it can kind of lower your mood, because then it will encourage behaviors that won't ultimately lead to your success, right? It can start to make people, it's like, you know, those people who they can't do anything. And I've been one of these people who they can't do anything without smoking first, right? Like, oh, I got a great meal. Let me smoke something first to make it even better, right? So then it becomes like you need the amplification, right, that you think the cannabis is giving you to make ordinary experiences worth having, which I think that's dangerous. And I think that is kind of a sign that, you know, the relationship to the plant should be evaluated. Tolerance breaks are helpful and necessary. And, you know, once you do one or two, you can appreciate, you know, being able to come back to that old friend, you know, that they're there, you know, they're not going anywhere. So I think it's good for just people to challenge themselves, right? Especially around their relationship with cannabis and, you know, anything. Because once you, you know, start treating something in a profane way, you'll get profane results. So we want to just be mindful, be respectful of all of our plant medicines, right? Like cannabis, is everybody so comfortable with it now that it's like, you know, oh, that's just my cousin's, you know, weed. You know what I mean? Like, that's nobody. So it's like, I don't know, the respect level can be lacking sometimes, I think, with people's consumption of cannabis and just the way they approach it. So reverence, I think, is needed across the board.
Yeah, that word, reverence. Yeah. Well, coming into the end of our time together, I'm curious I know, it was really fast. We'll have to have you back again.
I'll come.
Okay, cool. Well, anything else you want to share? And also, do you have a consciousness hack to impart to us?
Ooh, my consciousness hack. Let's see. I like to live in the end. So when I kind of get in a tough spot, or like when I, you know, feel my faith faltering, or just, you know, I'm starting to feel disconnected, I always go to, you know, like, what is my end goal? You know, what is the vision? What is the final masterpiece look like? And, you know, although it may not be totally clear, just getting glimpses of the idea, right, that I'm a work in progress, or that I'm doing something, right? I'm not just kind of bumping it on a log here. You know, I'm on this spiritual journey. I'm on, you know, this soul quest. So kind of being reminded of that, right? When things kind of start to get hairy, remembering, okay, I'm on a path, I'm on a mission. You know, it might be a little tough right now, but there's a goal here. So remember the goal. And, you know, that's always there to lean into when things get a little sketchy. So that's my hack, is, you know, remembering your why, remembering, you know, what is the point of the journey that we're on? And that'll help, you know, keep you motivated to walk that path.
Yeah. Trust the process.
Trust the process. And I hope it knows that we're trusting it, because I got all of my eggs are in the process basket.
That when I first saw that meme, does the process know that we're trusting it? That just blew my mind.
No one told the process.
Oh,
so funny. This was awesome. I was looking forward to this so much, just because as we were preparing for this call, I just was thinking so heavily just about consciousness and how important it is, and how at the end of the day, like, that's really all we have, right? Like, each individual, that's all you have, is, you know, your consciousness, your connection to something divine, something internal, something, you know, your spark, and not neglecting that and really leaning into the idea of, you know, there's a driving force, you know, there's this little voice, there's this hidden wisdom, you know, right on your shoulder, you know, that's leading us along the way. And we can trust it.
Mm. Yeah, it's like the one thing that no one can take away from you, really. They can try, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's yours.
No one can silence that little screaming voice in my head. Not even not even
you. Not even if you try. So where can people find you, find your product?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on all platforms at Silly Girls, spelled PSILLYGIRLS, sillygirls.com. If you're interested in kind of learning more about medicine work and just all the intricacies, you can find me on Patreon at Silly Girls. Do a lot of cool stuff there with my community. Lots of cool stuff in the works. So it'd be awesome for people to connect and get in tune and stay tuned for lots of cool stuff coming up. I work on new products pretty consistently, so there's always something new for people to try, different herbs to learn about. Lots of cool mushroom products. One that I'm working on now, or that I'm really sitting with now, is a lion's mane and cordyceps blend. So I'm using that to fuel me and smoothies and things like that. So I'm just really relying heavily on our mushroom friends and our herb friends as I'm entering this next, you know, level of consciousness. And I definitely recommend it for others, because that's kind of the key to start unlocking some of those levels internally and universally, right? Is, you know, having the tools that the plants will give you. They wake up different parts. They wake up different parts of you, right? So you want to be able, so it's like Pokemon for your brain or something. Like, you go and you collect all of these herbs, and then before you know it, you're like Super Saiyan or something. I don't even know if that's the same franchise, but
I don't know, but I love it. And yeah, check her out, everyone. Get some of this medicine for you. I also love, like, trying new plants. It's like making a new friend, because then you know it and then you see it.
Right?
Like, oh, okay. I know you. You're never alone.
Never. How could you ever be alone with all these plants all around? It's impossible.
They're so generous. Well, you've been so generous. Thank you for your time and sharing your wisdom and your energy. I just love talking to you.
I love talking to you. Thank you so much for having me. It is always awesome to be offered a platform to share my musings. So I thank you. Thank you greatly.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.